Welcome everyone in to the B Section podcast brought to you by the Daily Review and the Morning Times. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined by Logan Hill and David Goff. We are finally wrapping up the fall season. A few teams out, a couple left standing, some individual stuff to get to as well. But before we do any of that and some national stuff, Logan, tell us about our sponsor.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. So I know I get on here every single week and I go, David, have you been to the Jolly Farmer yet? David, have you been to the Jolly Farmer yet? My question is different this week. David, what is your favorite aisle in the Jolly Farmer, would you say?
That's totally unfair.
Snacks?
Cold drinks?
I mean,
coffee maybe?
Beer?
Candy?
They got it all.
We'll see if David has a new favorite aisle next week. We'll check back in with him.
All right, let's talk some football. One last team standing. The Trojans take care of Warrior Run. Troy wins 59-14 to advance. They will get Bedford tonight at 7 p.m. That is if there is no snow and during the taping of this podcast, and things will be postponed to Saturday. But let's not jump the gun here. Logan, tell us about what went down with Troy and Warrior Run.
It was Troy's night, Troy's moment. They had been trying to get there for about a year. And they got there, and they really left no doubt, 59-14. It was another ho-hum victory. It was a little bit closer than that for stretches, but the final score was what the final score was. One thing I thought was interesting was I was watching some other content. I believe it was the PA Football News guys, something they had put together on the game afterwards, and there was the coach Jim Smith beforehand said that it was exactly 11 years to the day of their previous district title, 2013. So I thought that was pretty interesting. That it was exactly to the day. But Troy came out, Evan Woodward, like the third snap of the game, 75-yard rushing touchdown, straight up the middle. Next offensive possession for Troy, 66-yard rushing touchdown. This time Woodward came around the edge. So they missed both those extra points. They had the first one blocked, then they went for two, but they were up 12-0. Warrior Run, finally, they had a long kick return, got a couple of penalties to extend the drive, so they finally get some points on the board. They're down 12-7. From there, Troy kind of hit a little bit of a lull that they're not typically used to ever finding themselves in. Maybe a rut would be a better way to describe it. And twice, Warrior Run got the ball back with a chance to potentially take the lead. Troy's defense didn't let that happen. They kept it 12-7 until the offense finally figured it out. And from there, it was 25-7 at halftime. And Troy had four takeaways in the entire game. Lincoln Kimmicks, Mason Smith, Benjamin Osgood, and Easton Terriberry all come up with a turnover, three interceptions, and a fumble recovery. Fumble was forced by Avery Sen. So really just every step of the way, Troy doing the things they've done all year to officially claim their medals. So it was a really cool night for a team that has been just the class of the NTL and now of District 4 Class 2A all season. And the story, you can't make up a better story, right? They get all the way there. Last year, they have to go face that team that beat them to get to the final. They
checked all the boxes, right?
So they're going into the state playoffs seemingly with all cylinders firing.
Yeah, and congratulations, of course, to Troy on a District 4 championship. Again, pending what happens during the snow, we're taping this on a Thursday. Everything goes according to plan. Troy tonight in Lock Haven against Bedford at 7 p.m., anything off the top of your head, Logan, in regards to Bedford and what we could expect if you're someone making the trip for the Trojans as a fan?
Not a whole lot. Talking to Coach Jim Smith on Wednesday evening, it sounds like they want to spread you out a little bit, maybe run the football, do some hard-nosed running. The weather's getting colder. It's when you lean on your run game. That's what I was going to add is if Troy has shown this year that it can do whatever it wants really to on offense, whether that's passing, whether that's running, whether that's reverses, things of that nature. If they want to lean on their run game in this latest contest, they're going to be able to. Woodward finished with 197 yards rushing. Brendan Gilliland had 186 yards rushing by my count. So that's two backs nearly touching the 200-yard mark apiece.
Yeah.
And then Cale Millard, I want to say, had 70 yards. Yeah, 70 yards on eight runs. He also scored a touchdown. So they're getting contributions from everywhere for Troy in their run game. But as far as Bedford, not a whole lot about them. I mean, they're based down a little bit further south. That's why the game's in Lock Haven. It's about an hour 20 from Troy, about an hour 40 from the Bedford area. The one tidbit I saw this week in just like some early looking at stuff was two of their, they come in with three losses and two of them are to teams that are still currently undefeated, which okay. is the same That's thing that Troy falls into, right? Yeah. So you wonder if it's just like an interesting statistical anomaly, right. I guess I would
preview
say.
Preview in the Daily Review on stands now.
I've been really happy with the amount of preview coverage and Troy coverage we've been able to do over the last couple of weeks, just solely because they're the last team standing in the PA side of things for the most part. So there's stories out all week about different players, different positions, yeah. but there'll be a full preview in Friday morning's paper.
Yeah, so if you haven't checked that out, get yourself a copy now. And, of course, get yourself a copy Saturday and keep up on the game story Logan will provide you. Once again, Troy in Lock Haven tonight, 7 p.m. against Bedford. Moving on to the New York side of things, we lost both our New York football teams this past weekend. But
which heartbreaker do you want to start out with first?
Yeah, it wasn't without some incredibly exciting football. Heartbreaking, but incredibly exciting. Let's start with the game that happened on Friday okay. night. It was in Johnson City. The Tigers fall 22-21 to Delhi in overtime. Walk us through it, David.
It was amazing the game got to overtime. Delhi was the better team in that first half. Tioga couldn't get much of anything going. Delhi scores, I think both of their touchdowns in that first half were in the second quarter to go up 14-0. To Tioga's credit, they prevent a 47-yard field goal from going. I mean, they didn't prevent it was a back kick, but they forced a missed 47-yard field goal at the end of the half to keep within two possessions. Then the defense still in the beginning of the second half kept it at two possessions. And then finally, the Tioga offense got rolling, and they Gage Hopkins broke off a 37-yard run on one carry for Tioga. It was the only carry of the game. That set up a run from Shane Platukas, a 24-yard touchdown run to get with the 14-7. All of a sudden, it's a game. And the fun thing about Platukas is he had missed a bunch of games late in the season with an injury. He played a little bit in the section semifinal, but in this game, he had one carry for 0 yards in that first half. He finished with a career-high 137 yards. Yeah, so big, you know where this is going.
Big second half.
He was able to lead Tioga back, because after that 24-yard touchdown run, the next offensive snap Tioga had was an 81-yard touchdown run by Shane Platukas. You were there, Kirk.
Yep.
That was the loudest the Tioga crowd was all night. That was an awesome play. He got 6 yards up the middle at the 25-yard line spin move, goes to the left side, veers off back to the middle of the field, scores. Yeah. That was an electric play.
Big part of the momentum shift of that game.
Yeah, and that made it 14-14. That's where the score stood until overtime. Both teams had chances to try to win the game late, but they just weren't able to. Tioga just didn't have enough time on the clock.
I was going to say, I think it's time. Tioga had to use all their momentum to claw their way back. Yeah. Had that started in the second quarter, the way that game was, you know, going and the momentum was swinging, Tioga was in good shape to probably be in the driver's seat, just kind of ran out of time.
Yeah, and it's funny. The first and only completion of the day Tioga had was the last play of regulation, but it was like a 10-yard pass to the 32-yard line, so it didn't do anything for them. But so you go to overtime, and then Waverly Main Enwo happens all over again, where Tioga, in this case, starts out with the ball. They score, Shane Platukas, two carries for 20 yards on two plays in that overtime drive. So it's 21-14. They kick the extra point. And then Delhi, a little more dramatically, get to the end zone. I can't remember how many plays it was, but they had a fourth down that they had to get through.
Had to convert, yeah.
And they barely got that. I know there were some people in the crowd who thought, oh, that there's no way he got the first down. I was there at that line. I'm pretty sure he barely got it.
Fourth and one. Needed every bit of one.
And he barely got it.
Yeah.
And then they eventually score. It might have been a third down play. That I don't really remember. But they score. It's 21-20. Delhi calls a timeout. Tioga commits an offside penalty.
It's decision time.
So Delhi goes to the 1.5-yard line.
Yep.
And they run it.
And they decide to go for the win.
And barely get in again. So 22-21. Right? And it's, and I mentioned the Waverly Main Enwo game a minute ago. It's six touchdowns was that Main Enwo Waverly game. Ended on with a Main Enwo win because they got to be the team had the ball second. Right. With the second possession in overtime. That's what Delhi was able to do in this one. So it was just an absolute heartbreaker for Tioga. The first time since 2016 or 2017 that they aren't section champions. And that, of course, ends their three-peat of a state championship as well.
And for anyone listening, wondering, that's been following this podcast or following David and Logan's game coverage throughout the season, people might be thinking, you know, Shane Platukas, okay, where's Jake Brown? Why am I not hearing Jake Brown's name?
I was curious, too.
Big X factor, big X factor in this game on the disadvantage side for Tioga. Apparent injury for Jake Brown. Tried to gut through it several times in the first half.
They had the ball first to start the game, and he had like a 35-yard run in that, and they got within the red zone, and they just flamed out, and they couldn't score. But, yeah, you could tell he was uncomfortable on the sideline. Yeah,
constantly trying to stretch him out on the sideline with different, you know, techniques, and just couldn't quite get that hitch out enough to continue to contribute into the second half, and they had to sit him down. And
Kirk and I were talking at halftime about how the game was unfolding, and we were talking just about how Dohai had all the momentum. We were talking about how Jake looked; he was banged up. It's like, this is just not good for Tioga, and for them to make it to overtime was just impressive.
Yeah, so a big thing for Shane Platukas to step up, and also I'll say for Jake Brown, watching him try to gut it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a tough player, because he did everything he could to try to make be back on that field. Just sometimes that's the way, you know, the game breaks. Logan,
before we turn to what else is on the docket, I want to ask, because this is now the second time that we've seen it happen in high school football this year, and it's a conversation that happens in the professional game, and I don't think in the college game, because I think either way in the college game you get a possession, but once you go to overtime, you want the ball second, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You want to know what
I want to know. I want to have the choices.
Because that's what I was trying to think through in my mind. Like, so let's say you have the ball first and you score your touchdown. In your mind, you might think, well, let's go for two, so there's no way we can get beat. But then you don't get beat. They can just line up the extra point if they're able to score. So and I don't know what the fix is. Like, I don't know a way to make it more.
I had this conversation much more in depth with Jason Miller after the Maine Animal game. I asked him, like, so did you think about going for two because Maine Animal had the ball? And at that point, that was a high scoring game, back and forth, score everywhere. And Maine Animal had already converted on a couple of 2-point conversions. So Jason kind of just gave the answers, like, we just had to put the pressure on them. There wasn't really much of a thought. But I asked Nick Aiello the same question, like, did you think about going for two with your overtime possession? And he really just, it was a much quicker answer. It's like, no, we just wanted to put the pressure on Dohai. In that instance, I think that's the right call for Tioga, because it was a 14-14 game.
I was going to say,
it wasn't high scoring.
A different game than the Waverly Maine Endwell, but it's just like, it's weird to see two examples of it where. Yeah.
I'm fine with the high school and college rule. I despise the NFL rule. I think it's been tweaked too much. It's strange, the idea that both teams don't get similar opportunities and chances. I think with the way the high school and college rule is set up, you have the choice.
But and I remember I used
kick the field goal, go for two.
I used the lead on the Waverly Maine Animal game about how that game came down to a coin flip. Literally just kind of came down to a coin flip because Maine Animal got the better of it, got the second possession. And of course, they still have to score and make the 2-point conversion, but they did. And that was kind of the case with Dohai. And it's crazy that Tioga's dynasty that they've had for how much struggles that they've had this year, it ended on something like that, just something so small.
And that's the other side of the coin too, though, is like, okay, well, it doesn't matter whether you kick the extra point or you go for two. I just realized I said coin.
Yeah, no, I was going to mention it.
It in my mind not to say it and still said it anyway.
It was a good one. I liked it.
It wasn't a pun, I promise. just stop them, right? That's the other argument.
And they were so close to stopping
them. Tioga had the choice to kick the extra point or go for two. They made the choice. Kick the extra point, put the pressure on. Dohai now has the choice, kick the extra point to tie or go for two to win. This provides you with the decision-making that makes these environments and that type of situation as exciting and tense at times as it can be. I like it. That's what makes overtime different.
The answer that I don't know about how the end of the game unfolded there is, if Tioga wasn't offside on the...
Who knows?
Who knows if Dohai would have tried it?
You also have the case where, let's say, Tioga comes out and they throw a pick right at the very first play.
Yeah. There was a 4th-and-1 play that Dohai barely got.
You now know by taking the choice to play defense, well, I don't have to go for it on 4th if I can kick the field goal.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all kinds of choices to be made, which is why you take the defensive side of the ball first, in my opinion. But regardless, still, excellent season to make the Sectional 4 Finals for Tioga. We'll see what they bring back next year. They're usually a reload and not rebuild type of team.
Yeah, next year's going to be kind of a flip because you have all your skill players returning as now experienced. Sure. Now the offensive line, though, and defensive line, that's going to be a different situation.
Coach Aiello will, once again, have an opportunity to get this team back there, and his track record speaks for itself. Yeah. I expect to see him in similar success. Saturday comes around. You're not done yet, David.
Nope.
The Wolverines, in a little bit more of a shocker, fall in their Section C championship game to Shenango Forks, 38-35. The Wolverine season ends.
That's also not a traditional 38-35. Right. That's not five touchdowns on the field goal. That's five touchdowns to five touchdowns, the final score.
Wow. So, go through that one for us.
Just a remarkable football game. 9 lead changes. The largest lead of the game was 7-0 for Waverly. No one had a 7-point lead after that. So it was 7-0 Waverly. Then it was 8-7 Forks. They benefited off an offside on the point after attempt. So they went for 2 and got it. That was 8-7 Forks. 14-8 Waverly. 15-14 Forks. And then it was 20-15 Waverly at halftime after they wasted the last 6 minutes off the second quarter perfectly. Like, it was the perfect thing because they had the ball coming out of the second half. So you think if they can get a late touchdown, this have to go up, maybe, because they haven't been stopped yet. If things go the way they've been, they could give themselves a 2-possession lead out at halftime, and then they might be in a good spot. Unfortunately, they fumble the kickoff, and Forks recovers it at the 4-yard line. 2 plays later, they're in. They go for 2 to go up 3. They get it. It's 23-20 Forks. And then at that point, it's anybody's game. Waverly goes up 27-23. Then it's 30-27 Forks. And then let's see here. I'm trying to think. There's a couple of possessions here I'm trying to sift through. But with 49 seconds left, Waverly scores on a Fletcher Good 8-yard run, who, by the way, Fletcher Good had 19 carries for 120 yards in the first half of this game. He was huge. And then finished with 30 carries for 180 yards.
Okay.
So he had a massive game for Waverly. He was like the biggest contributor. He had that 8-yard touchdown run to go up 33-30 with 49 seconds left. And they go for 2. Unfortunately, so Colson Keithley at the beginning of that drive looks like he had a bad knee injury. So, and I didn't know this until after the game, but he was the long snapper, I guess, for Waverly. So that's why they went for 2 in that situation, because they didn't have a long snapper for the kick. And so Xavier Watson makes the last of his circus catches of his high school career, back of the end zone, 2-point conversion catch. So it's 35-30, 49 seconds left. Waverly looks like they might have an emotional come from behind victory. Then the kickoff happens, and Tate Bender of Forks hauls it in at the 6-yard line, brings it all the way to the 36 on the other side of the field. Just the momentum went right back to Forks. And the next play was a 24-yard completion to the 12-yard line. The next play was a 7-yard run to the 5-yard line. The next play was a 5-yard Finn Stark run to give Forks a 36-35 lead. They get the 2. It's 38-35 with 11.5 seconds left. Xavier Watson runs the kickoff to midfield, the 49-yard line, with only leaving 5 seconds left in the game, and there were 2 incompletions. Season over for Waverly. Just an absolute stunner of an ending there.
Yeah, that's a perfect word for it, too, because when I got word of the ending and the final score, I was stunned. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. Certainly an upset. But at the same time, yeah, upset on paper, but Forks is always there.
Yeah.
They're always that roadblock. They're always a team that's going to be, tough to get by. So regardless of the way this ended, I think even Waverly would tell you, they knew going into that Section 4 championship that this would come down to the end. This would be a back and forth, and unfortunately just the wrong side of it this year.
I don't want to discredit the number 2 team in the state, Salamanca, but this was number 1 versus number 3, so it was almost effectively the state championship because it was a section championship, and you knew, and after what I experienced last year, covering Waverly's run to winning the state title, the only game that was close until the championship game was Forks. Like, the state playoffs, they ran over those guys. They won 30-21 over Forks in that section championship after it being 21-21 in the fourth quarter. So I knew that this game was probably going to be the one obstacle for Waverly if they wanted to go back to the championship. And lo and behold, Forks does it.
So that wraps up the New York side of football for the season. Logan, you got anything to add on those two teams or that game?
I was going to say, I have a couple questions. The first one, I guess, is really more of a comment. But Forks, you got to like where they were at just because they were playing with the house money this time around, so to speak, right? And as Waverly, you're the defending champs. Yeah. Right? You have a standard to keep up. You got the target on your back. So I remember David and I talked throughout that day. We're going to get to it here in a second. I was at Tioga Volleyball while he was at that game. So I was like, hey, shoot me updates. Or I was checking his Twitter. And it was just like every time there would be a new tweet, someone else took a lead. Someone else took a lead. So, and I remember I texted him at halftime. I was like, oh, who's getting the ball to start the second half? And he said, Waverly. And they had just scored. And he said, that was likely a very good spot for them to, something along the lines of likely a very good spot for them to get some points because they're getting the ball. And then I see his next tweet, Waverly fumbled the opening second half kickoff. Yeah. And he was like, that's exactly why I said likely. One thing that I took away from talking to him after the game was just, that's why they play the games, right? Games aren't decided on a piece of paper. And
well, it's the age old saying, right? It's a lot harder to defend than it is to, go. Sometimes go win that one, and double Tioga and Waverly.
I stood on the Forks sideline for pretty much the entire game. One, because of the sun, and there's just less people to be around, and it was easier to cover the game that way. And just the low I could observe on the Forks side with 49 seconds left when Waverly scored, and then that kickoff, it got loud on that sideline. It's just like the momentum is obvious because they got the ball at the 36 and they were in scoring position, but you could tell that their spirits were lifted completely in that moment.
Right. And we didn't speculate on Jake Brown's injury in the title game. Colson Keithley appeared to suffer a late game injury.
Yeah.
We don't know the extent of that, but we certainly want to wish him the best as well.
Yeah. My last two tidbits I have is, and I put this out after David posted the final score, is in maybe a 16-hour span, the Class D and Class C champs from last year both went down.
So yeah,
there's going to be some fresh blood at the top, which while that doesn't help us write stories, but that'll be pretty cool to see. And then the last question I had, and this might be one for you, Kirk, is the Shenango Forks Blue Devils.
Yep.
But their uniforms were red and white.
There was some blue on there.
They had blue. I couldn't really tell.
Blue pants.
It looked like red pants to me. Okay.
Strange to me.
Okay. That was all. I was just curious if there was
no
reason.
No shots at the Blue Devils, but yeah, when you come in wearing red helmets, it's hard.
I just was curious.
I thought about the red helmet too.
It's the other thing, my big thing with Horseheads too.
What's that?
With a name like Horseheads and you're called the Blue Raiders. What? The Stallions, the Broncos, the
Stallions. Come on. It's right there.
Come on. Let's do something about that. A lot of people screaming at me from that area right now. If they're listening. we're the Blue Raiders. Other sports, Tioga Volleyball, Logan, you were there for this one. Give us a little background on what went down with Tioga Volleyball this past weekend.
So I've had the distinct opportunity the last 2 weeks to cover some really high leverage volleyball matches for the Tioga Central Lady Tigers. This one was, they were facing Jordan Elbridge. I believe it was Section 3 versus Tioga, which is Section 5?
4. District 4, Section 4. It's the same thing.
It's all right.
We got one PA coverage. We got one New York coverage. It's coming out right now on the pod.
I know. I'm looking at so many different districts and classes. And sections. Stuff like that. We're so deep in the postseason. Either way. The game was supposed to start at 1. I guess the game before it went a little late, so it started around 1:20, 1:25. Once it gets going, Tioga really just has their way. I think they led 4-0 to open the inaugural set, and they end up winning that. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but handedly, like a 25-15 score or something of that nature. Jordan Elbridge strikes back, knots it up at 1-1. Tioga takes the third set, and then in the fourth set, Jordan Elbridge is leading. They're ahead. They have the momentum, and it's like, okay, so this one's going 5, and it's going to come down to a dramatic moment. Took me back to a couple weeks prior when I covered Northeast Bradford's state playoff game on the PA side. It literally came down to the final 2 points of the match. It was a 3-2, 17-15.
Yeah, I remember that.
Lady Panthers. This one, Tioga took a timeout, and they said, we do not want to play 5 sets. They were down 20-13, I believe it was. They come back to win it 25-23.
Wow.
And finish it off in 4 sets. They win 3-1. They win the regional round, so they go on to pool play, which I believe is the top 8 left, or the 8 left.
Top four.
Only 4 left. Okay, so then it's the top 4
when
left.
When can we expect to see the Lady Tigers in action again?
They are up in Glens Falls.
Wow, over that's the weekend.
So at
8 in the morning.
Is it? Okay. Did we confirm that?
Yeah,
start
it's 8
time?
In the morning.
I saw that it started at 8, but it was all 3 of the classes that are playing that day, so we weren't sure if maybe it started later or. But yeah.
Glens Falls, not an area I'm very familiar with at all.
I think David knows about it.
Not really.
You've been there, though, right?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. I thought you went there last year. Okay, never mind.
I almost did. We almost did for Waverly boys basketball. Got close to the state semifinal.
That would have been the next round.
That would have been it.
All right. But it was a really fun, entertaining match, and they just kind of found a moment. The storyline that I've been able to hear for the last 2 weeks is they've had a roller coaster season. Whether it's in match play, whether it's the season as a whole, and they just kind of said, "All right, enough of this," and took it right back. So it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, their ability to do that seems crazy.
Anytime I've talked to Coach Desiree Ford throughout the season, she's always talked about the mental. Like that's just anytime. Like, what do you think about how your match was? Like, just mentally, we were good, or we struggled, but we got better. There's a lot about mentality with that Tioga team. And but on Saturday,
Glens Falls,
it's four teams are playing. Let's see. This is not the right sheet.
Great radio right here.
Yes. Okay, here we go. Mount Academy is the second-ranked team. Stillwater is the 10th-ranked team. Portville is the number one-ranked team and the three-time defending state champions. And Tioga, I believe, is the 6th-ranked team in the state. So they come in as the third team, basically, in pool play. And it's basically, it's like what section pool play was, where you play two sets against each of those three teams. The best record of the six sets, the two best records of the six sets, make it to Sunday morning for the actual championship match.
Okay.
So, Tioga will have, it'll be interesting because Tioga is the third highly ranked team in this. So they have the three-time defending state champions who I believe are undefeated, Portville, and they also the number two team. So it'll be a...
If last weekend's football taught us anything, that's why
play the games. Absolutely. David, wrap us up with the rest of the coverage around the area.
Okay, so this past weekend was the end of New York cross country. We had two Waverly girls at that event at the New York State Championships. Senior Harper Miniker had a 59th place finish with 21 minutes and 8 seconds. Just 4 seconds behind her, but in 67th place, was Mackenzie Chamberlain, a junior for Waverly. Harper Miniker, it was her second state championship. She also made it as a freshman, so she started... I guess she might have ran as a middle schooler, too. I don't know that for sure. But her freshman year and her senior years of high schools ended up with a state championship appearance. And I believe she's also dealt with some injury in the middle there, too. So to get back to the state championship is a good story for her.
Yeah.
And then on also this weekend, this is the first time in a while I've had two.
I'm getting you a bigger notebook.
Yeah.
That's a lot of action. Christmas that's a good thing.
Usually the small notepad's good for one page. I can have all my information here. This is 2 pages.
That's a good thing, though. That's a lot of action.
Yeah.
So Waverly Swimming, girls swimming, they're going to be at state championship starting today, this Friday, this morning. They're in four events for the first time in program history, and also meaning there's a individual, Mira Kittle, who's in four events, the first time that's ever happened in Waverly girls swimming history. She will be in the 50-meter freestyle and the 100 backstroke. She is the second seed in the 50 freestyle, only 0.03 of a second behind first place.
So a real shot, yeah.
So, all you really have to do on Friday, worry about on Friday, is just get past the preliminary round. Yep. And then on finals, hopefully you can make noise. And then in the 100 backstroke, she's the 5th seed in that. And then she's also taking part in the 200 freestyle relay and 200 medley relay with... her teammates. So the 200 freestyle relay is Kittle, Mira Kittle, Megan Atanasoff, Lauren Wells, and Olivia Cherzanowski. They're the 4th seed, and last year they were also at the state championships, and they were the 18th. They finished in 18th place. They are the 4th seed coming into this one. And then the 200 medley relay is Olivia Cherzanowski, Natalie Steck, Mira Kittle, and Lauren Wells. They are the 18th seed in that one. So this Friday, they are going to be trying to get themselves to swim one more day of the season and try to get there to Saturday in the finals.
Plenty of action still out there, so keep an eye on the morning times for David's coverage on all of that. Volleyball still out there, swimming still out there, and of course, Troy football. Logan will have you up to speed with that tonight in Lock Haven at 7 o'clock.
I was a swimmer in my heyday, Kirk.
Yeah.
What event?
What's
do you
your
think
time?
I swam?
What's
oh,
your
they
time?
Weren't good. I was not going to state championships, but
50-meter.
Ugh, not good.
Sprinter.
No, I was not a
swimmer.
I was a butterfly swimmer.
Oh, okay. I was going to say
not
freestyle.
Because I was good.
I previewed Waverly girls swimming the other day. Talked to Mira Kittle and the coach Amy Steck. Mira Kittle had a really good quote about how she's not. It would be extremely awesome. If she won the state tournament, she's not totally focused on that. She'd much rather set a personal best and finish third place than finish with a rough time, but finish third and win the championship. So
strongly motivated.
Swimming's one
like
of those.
It.
It's like cross country. Yeah. It's like track. It's where you're you against you. There might be other people out in the pool or out on the track competing against you.
And there's people like us who are more fascinated by the fact that she's only 300ths of a second behind the first seed. She probably doesn't care too much about that.
No, she just probably wants to go out and swim her best possible race. It's not really about
that. Different style, right, of thinking.
Since I opened the door to me as a swimmer, this is what I'll close it with. My first ever meet, I got lapped in the backstroke swim.
I love to hear that.
Welcome to the pool, Logan Hill.
That's a good way.
I don't think I swam backstroke again after that.
That's a great way to transition. Before we get into the college football playoff and some NFL talk, one more time from our sponsor, the Jolly Farmer.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. We've talked about chili season a couple of times on here. And we are It's here.
It's going to snow. That means we're there.
We're into chili season.
Get the crock pot out.
Go get your fixins that you need from the Jolly Farmer and get that chili going.
Oh, my God. That's going to have to be this weekend for me. Plenty of good football. Perfect weather. Get the chili going. Get the crock pot out. College football playoff reveal this week. Give me the first four byes.
Number one, Oregon. Number two, Texas. Number three, Miami. And number four, Boise State.
Okay, give me the first round matchups.
5, Ohio State hosting 12, BYU. 8, Notre Dame hosting 9, Alabama. 6, Penn State hosting 11, Georgia. That would be a really good game.
That's a good one.
I have to take a day off and go to Happy Valley for that one. And then number 7, Indiana hosting number 10, Ole Miss.
That's an interesting one, too. First team out.
The first team out, if I have this right, this is the top 25, would be SMU.
Second team out.
BYU.
No, BYU's in there.
Well, then
who's after BYU?
So this is the top 25. I don't have the
that's what we'll work through it because BYU will have the Big 12. So who's ranked behind BYU?
Then wouldn't it be who's in front of BYU? So did I mention Tennessee? No Tennessee in there.
So it'll be SMU and Tennessee are kind of your
Tennessee
first.
Tennessee was 11 in the top 25. This is what I can show it to you. I pulled up on the
I believe you.
But this is the bracket, right? And then it doesn't have the first team out on it.
Yeah, Tennessee out after their loss to Georgia last week.
That doesn't register with me that Tennessee isn't in there right now.
Yeah, they lose to Georgia. They get bumped. Some key matchups this weekend. Undefeated Indiana.
It's got to shake out, right? Ohio State and Indiana are playing. That's been the game everybody's been talking about since Monday morning, right?
I think Ohio State smashes Indiana.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I think Ohio State
Their season comes to an end.
Yeah, I think so.
The one thing I take away from that, the new bracket is BYU just one loss go from a bye to having to go into Ohio State.
Yeah, and how bad's the Big 12 is, man.
They've been kind of playing on the edge of the sword for the last couple weeks. I watched the end of that BYU Utah game a couple weeks back and they really got some luck that went their way late to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. So. Is it top 10 ranked Notre Dame against undefeated Army this weekend?
Yeah.
I believe it is as well. That would shake things up if Army pulled that off. Not likely. About as likely as Indiana upsetting Ohio State. But when we say stuff like that,
that's why they play the games. That's why they play the games.
Full circle moment. Let's move on to the NFL. The locks played out, made this thing a little more competitive.
Before we get to the locks, we got to talk about my lock of the week, Chiefs Bills. We got to talk about that game. What'd you see that you liked in that one, Kirk?
Nothing, because the Bills do this every year. They beat Mahomes in the regular season and then prove they can't do it in the playoffs. So this was very much just Groundhog Day for me watching that game. Allen looks good. Amari Cooper, incredible addition. And as usual, we beat up on Patrick Mahomes when it doesn't count.
So, agree or disagree, Josh Allen's fourth down run, the play of the year.
Not the play of the year, but it's also why you can't dial him back, because when he plays like that, the Bills can beat teams like the Chiefs. So as much as people are getting upset about it being, the play of the year.
Jim Nance walked it back 15 seconds later.
I hear it.
Okay. I thought in the moment.
During the extra point, he was like, because he was the same crew, him and Tony Romo were the same crew that called the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
So he was like, we did see a Hail Mary already. Well,
Said that, though, like about play of the year, like, that was a good play.
The stakes of the moment, it kind of makes sense, like what the moment now itself the
fact,
was. But
now the fact, though, that it is an overreaction has people too fixated on it being the overreaction. When in reality, break that down, that's why the Bills can beat teams like the Chiefs. That's why Josh Allen is an MVP candidate every year.
That is, if Josh Allen wins the MVP, that is his MVP
it's
moment.
It's his moment, and it's a big one, and you need plays like that if they're going to get over the hurdle. So I'm fine with it. Not the play of the year, but maybe a big moment in the way the season's going for Buffalo. Yeah. My lock, unsuccessful this week, that put Logan's was successful. We are now even. David?
What was your lock?
The 49ers over the Seahawks.
Okay. Us in the final 2 minutes.
Logan had the Bills. And David, who'd you have?
I don't know. I know I got
He had the Texans.
Texans over Dallas.
The left for dead Dallas Cowboys.
Which is now that Dallas is no longer pickable against.
I was going to say, I wasn't sure if they were or not.
They're still outside the top five.
That means you start us this week, David.
Oh, all right.
You're undefeated. You're ahead. Logan and I, one game back.
This is kind of the inverse of not picking teams.
Wait, who's our top? Who's our five? Give me the five we cannot pick against because they're so bad.
Can't pick against Jacksonville. Can't pick against Tennessee. Can't pick against Cleveland. New York Giants or the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
Creeping up, the New England Patriots, the New York Jets, the Carolina Panthers, and the Dallas Cowboys.
All right.
And New Orleans. All of those teams have three or less wins.
Some choices out there. Okay. David, who's your pick?
Like I said, this is going to be the inverse of our, you know, picking against the Titans and stuff like that. I'm going with the Lions over the Colts, just because the Lions are the hot team, 9-1, and they're facing.
There goes my lock.
You picked the same one.
I did. I had the Lions as well, so I like where David's head's at.
You strike me as a really likes like a -250 kind of bet, David. That's okay. That's all right. Bets are still bets.
I was with you. I'm on the same page as David this week. I'm not going to go that route, though. I'm going to try to keep it interesting, keep this thing competitive, and I'm going to get off that pick.
You can match me all year until the last week to keep it in
I'm going to get off that pick. I'm going to go with the Dolphins over the Patriots.
Okay.
Last week, maybe to be able to pick against the Patriots. Anybody who's ever listened to this podcast knows how much I love to pick against the Patriots. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Dolphins to win that one. I think the Dolphins have got a little bit of momentum since Tua's gotten back. He looks pretty good. They look pretty good. They could be a spoiler going forward. So I'm going to take the Dolphins here over the Patriots as my lock. Logan, finish us off.
I'm looking at the board.
Yeah.
The Monday night game's a little spicy. I would like to pick it, but I don't think I'm going to stick my neck out there. I think I'm going to rock with my team that I've rocked with a couple weeks this year. I'm going to pick the Cardinals to beat the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Going there for real, huh?
Playing some really good football.
Yeah.
Kyler's looked good.
The West is interesting.
Call of Duty hasn't seemed to throw him off his game too much.
He's dialed.
Give me the Cardinals to win a close one over the Seattle Seahawks.
Lions for David, Dolphins for me, Cardinals for Logan. Those are our locks of the week. Get out tonight and watch Troy try to continue their stretch here in the state playoffs. Also this weekend, Tioga volleyball, some swimming, cross country still out there.
Cross country is done.
Well, what was the
track? Waverly swimming.
Waverly swimming is what I'm talking about. I got sidetracked because of Logan talking about his times back when he was in the pool.
They hung my picture on the wall.
Yeah, whatever. Tioga volleyball, Waverly swimming, and of course Troy football tonight. Other than that, we'll see you back here to keep you up to date. What do you got?
Last one before you close this. Before you head out anywhere, double check that those events are still happening.
Yeah.
Where they're happening and when
they're
happening.
Could be snow, you're right.
Could have some weather to deal with. So we don't want to send you on a wild goose chase.
Until next week. See you later.